Welcome to another equipping message of Be The One Ministries. Our prayer is that this message activates, elevates, and cultivates you to be the leader that you are called to be. For more information, visit BeTheOneMinistries.com.
Y'all like church? Yeah. Y'all like Jesus?
Yeah.
So, no. Here's the deal, is I like to have good church. I like to have good church. And so here's the thing, is that sometimes we treat church like Pavlov's theory. We ring the bell, the dog salivates, and so we do what we've always done, but we don't ever really engage. And I want to see God do something in your life. I want to see God do something in your life. And so in that, I'm just saying that I think that it would be good for us just to pray a bit. Just pray a second. You know what I'm saying? And I know that some of you are looking at your clock. I promise I'm going to speak really fast. But more importantly is, man, I want to see God do something in your life. And you know what? When Jesus was met with the woman at the well, she did not wake up that day knowing that something was going to happen. In fact, there were countless times that Jesus had a meeting with someone and they didn't know what that meeting was about. But he did. And when he had that meeting, it changed them. When Jesus got in the boat with Simon Peter, he said, "Man, why don't you get up this boat and let's go back out?" And man, I just was out, man. We can't catch no fish. Let's catch some fish. Put your nets on this other side, man. I'll do it if you want me to do it, but I don't think it's really going to work. Okay, I'll do it. And he did it, and then he had to call in his buddies to get the fish because it was too much. Peter didn't think that anything supernatural was going to happen today. And although I know that you're people of faith and you're charismatic, I do want to tell you that. Do you think that God is going to speak to you today? Or are you praying that he speaks to your enemy today? Are you praying that he speaks to your husband today, your child today? My child's rebellious. They're mean. I hate them. I love them, and I hate them too. And so I come to church for them. I'm saying, kids, you're at church praying, "Dear God, help my parents." But what I'm saying is, what if God wants to meet with you? Man, let's be ready. Come on, all over this place, let's start praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, we don't want a show. We don't want sensational. God, we want to meet with you. We want to know you. Come on, saints. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we turn up our heart and its ground. Father, help it not be rocky. Help it not, come on, when the word comes forth, that birds don't just come up and take it and steal the word from us before it even gets in our head. Father, we know that there are some that when the word goes forth, because of their situations, it's thorny and it will choke the life out of the word. Father, help the word go forth in our life. Father, we can't do anything about everybody, but we can do something about us. God, we ask for you to move in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Turn with me real quick to Luke 14, verse 16. Luke 14, verse 16. And I want to talk to us a little bit. You know, in life, it's important to keep the main thing the main thing. And a lot of times, because of our life, it's very hard to do that. It's very hard to do that. And Freedom Life, I want you to know that God loves you and God has a plan for your life. And his heart is that not any of you would perish, but all of you would have eternal life. But that's your choice. And your attendance is not that choice. Your attendance opens up opportunity for God to speak, for your heart to break, for pride to be removed. But just because you're here does not mean that you are a servant of the Most High God. You know, you can be saved and not hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You can get in, or you can get in well. And what are we here for but to get in well? Not to just squeak by. I mean, if your kids are capable of A's, now we have four kids. Some of my kids are not capable of A's. They are capable of C's. And bless God, we throw a fit for C's. But if they're capable for a C and getting an F, is that okay? If they're capable of an A and they get D's, is that okay? If you're capable of being a servant, but you just slip in, is that okay? See, here's the thing, is that nowhere in this walk were we supposed to be responsibility free. Burden free, yes. Sin removing, absolutely. Bondage, absolutely. Small yoke, absolutely. But always there was supposed to be responsibility in our faith. Didn't Jesus leave and give it to the 12 disciples, the 11, and say, hey, man, it's on y'all? Go out, preach, teach, baptize, you know what I'm saying? Get it done. I'm going to be right at the right hand of the Father handling my business. I need y'all to handle your business. So where in it did we get to the place where coming and sitting is translating into a good Christian? Coming and sitting and putting a token dollar bill into a plate is all that God has required from me. And I want to talk about that a little bit. You know, there are tons of areas that we can find substitutes in. There's substitutes everywhere. One of the biggest ones, substitutes that I see is in food. I like food. Y'all like food? I like food. I like biscuits. I like biscuits and sausage. I'm just telling you, I like, and you can have those a bunch of different ways. You know, you can have those processed. You can have those frozen. You can have those from a restaurant, or you can have that home cooking. Come on, any man in here likes some home cooking, some real love home cooking? She been up, got the apron on. You know when you got a dirty apron, some love going on. All love don't happen in the bed. There can be some love happening in the kitchen. My wife is a good cook. I like food. And, man, my wife can cook some chicken, and for real, it will make you slap your mama. Not that we do that, but I'm just saying it is good. It's good. I like her chicken. Man, it's good. It's good. I only get it one time a year because it takes a long time to cook, but I get it at Christmas, and I'm just telling you. And kids are like, can I have some? And I'm like, no, this is for me. You get cereal. But here's the thing. You can have an imitation. You can be cheap. It can be cheap. You can go buy the Golden Arches, and if you work there, I love you. But I'm just saying, you can get a microwave. You get a microwave sausage biscuit. And you know what? I remember as a kid, I could not tell the difference. I would rather go to McDonald's and get the flappy microwave pancake. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. When you were a kid, I remember every Saturday, I just want to go to McDonald's because it was easy access. It was instant fun. It was easy. You know what I'm saying? Mom didn't have to get up and there was stirring and waiting. I'm about to die. I just go to McDonald's and then, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and they're floppy. And I didn't know that you had to eat them a lot to even digest them. You know what I'm saying? It's I don't know. Y'all know about McDonald's pancakes? Y'all don't know about them? But then there's something different about a real pancake. A real, you know, and some of y'all who cook, how many of y'all men, you cook breakfast? Come on. They're not pancakes, they're mancakes, baby. You know, they're big. Big, thick, and it's good. There's something that holds the syrup. It's like an explosion of happiness in your mouth. But you know, there's a lot of substitutes. And you know what? The Bible says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove. Now listen to this. That you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do you know that you can prove to those around you how good God is? That God is good. They look at your life and they go, oh my God, I can't believe you got through that. God must be good. I can't believe that you overcame that. God must be good. I can't believe that happened in your... I can't believe you're able to forgive that person. God must be good. I can't believe you're able to walk in love and give to people because, woo, God must be good. But you're either conforming or you're transforming. And let's talk about this because conforming is easy. Conforming is easy. It's to act accordingly, be in harmony. You know what? Live by current standards, attitudes, practices, whatever the group of society says, that's conforming. Transforming is hard. It's work. Transforming is a change in form and appearance. It's a metamorphosis. It means you convert. Let me ask you this. In a life full of easy things, and life is easy. Come on, we love easy. Cars now are easy. I mean, you just get in a car, you hit a button, your trunk opens. Hit a button, your doors open. Hit a button, the car starts. What kind of people do we? We cannot. Yeah, I got carpal tunnel. I just can't even start my car anymore. I'm not going to get no old car. I got to push a button. It's got to start. It's got to preheat for me. I got to set the temperature on my key ring. What? We love easy. Now when you ride, it's like you're riding in a bed. Some of those seats, I'm talking about, no wonder people are wrecking. Because when you sit down in some of these, it's like sitting in your bed. It's like, oh God, I fall asleep. You're driving 5 minutes and you're tired. I went to Walmart the other day. I'm having a little back issue. And I had a choice of 3 different massages that I could buy to put in my car so that it would help my back. I thought, dear God, how far have we come? While I'm driving, I can be multitasking. I get a fluffy pillow for my rear, and I get a massager for my back. And while I'm going 75, oh, gee, it can't get no better. Other than, like, teleporting. But I'm going to let you do that first because it may be messy. I mean, I'm just thinking about, man, life is easy. Phone's easy. You remember when, come on, y'all. Anybody over, when you were over 40, 50, phones? We used to have 2 hands to pick up 1 phone. Heavy, hello. And the phone was so big, we had to get up here and down here and up here and down here. We had a backpack with a phone in it. Oh man, my phone ring. Hold on. Then when I was a kid, phones got real small. It's like you had to get a cool phone, and a cool phone was a small phone, and so you opened it up and didn't break it. Hello. And now I see phones again, and they're that big. Some of y'all got phones that are that big. In a third world country, that's a TV. I'm just thinking, God, we have phones, calendar, call, face. You can be on your phone and talk around the world. Hello? And they see you. You don't even need a TV network anymore. Just you can tell the world. Anything can go viral. It's easy to communicate. Internet made things easy. Houses, easy. They've been out for about 10 years, but they've got little computer vacuums that just vacuum. And they just go around the house. Excuse, R2-D2's coming. I was like, dishwashers, thing. I mean, I'm just saying, it was all downhill when we moved the bathroom in the house. I mean, I was just. Men used to spend most of their time outside. Now they spend most of their time inside. All I'm saying is that everything in life tells us that life should be easy. And so when we try to pick up the cross and follow him, it's like it doesn't compute, because if it isn't easy, it must not be good. And if you're not careful, you'll conform to the pattern of this world that says it all has to be easy, it all has to be fast, it all has to be quick. And so now we can't pray for more than 10 minutes. And if God didn't do it, we're mad. We don't want to show up and be a part of church for 25 years. We want to go and get our character built up in about 4 or 5 months and go out, and now we know it all. And so what I'm telling you is, the Bible says that there is a way that you conform and a way that you transform. And conforming is always going to be easier. It means do what everybody else is doing. But transform means think another way. Think another way about forgiveness. Think another way about people. Think another way about your mother-in-law. Oh, Jesus. Think another way about your mom. Think another way about your kids. Think another way about your spouse. Think another way about life, about adversity, about issues. Think another way. Think another way. Think another way. Don't think about what's easy. What's easy is the conflict. What's easy is it's them versus me. What's easy is And here's the deal. Just because you're in the right environment doesn't mean you get right results. And we need to understand that, because Adam and Eve were in the best environment they could possibly have. And in that environment, they listened to the wrong voice. And so while your church attendership, your church membership can be putting you in a place where you can go to the next level, it doesn't mean that you will. You can stay here for 20 years, still broke, mad, and offended. And that ain't on anybody else but... You can rotate in this church and be mad here for a little while and then go to the next church and go to the next church. Because here's what I'm seeing in churches. Churches aren't growing because lost get saved. Churches are growing by transfer. Well, we just need a new season, brother. Translation is, you're mad. Translation is, they didn't let you sing in worship. They didn't let you prophesy over everybody when you had a word. And it wasn't even your word was bad. It's you needed a tic-tac. You hear what I'm saying? And so what happens is we take easy. We take easy. And I want to show us in a scripture verse real quick. And I want us to check ourselves and see where we're at. And see where we're at. And here's the deal. Is I don't know nothing about what's going on here, so I'm going to act like Pastor Pam and Stanley sat down and go, oh, well, I know you're talking about me. I don't know you. I know people. I know people. And people are the same everywhere. And we are either conforming or we're transforming. I want to read this. Let's look at this. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time, saying to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they, with all one accord, begin to make excuses. Somebody say excuses. The first said, I have bought a piece of ground and I got to go see it. Like, you don't even know what it looks like. You bought it. What do you mean you need to go see it? It's a ground. It's a ground. It's not moving. It's not like, you know, a star that's going through the sky. It's not like the red moon where you got to go see it and you may never see it again. This is land. You bought it. You know what it looked like. Why you need to go see what's stationary? I got to go check out my land. I ask you to excuse me. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. You can't test them tomorrow. You have to test them right now. We got a chef. This master has cooked up a meal. I'm here inviting you, and you got to go test them right now. I mean, like right now, you have to go. I mean, like, you work for them or they work for you. I mean, what? Like, it has to be right now. Okay. I ask you to excuse me. Still another said, I have married a wife. And therefore, I cannot come. Mm-hmm. We know that. I'm moved by that one. So the servant came and reported these things to the master. The master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes in the cities and bring in the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it has been done as you commanded, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel. Somebody say compel.
Compel.
Them to come in that my house may be filled. Look at this last verse. For I say to you that none of those men who are invited shall taste my supper. I want to talk just a little bit. I want to talk about each example. I want to talk about each person in this text as we get together today and talk. Can we talk a little bit about the master? Can we talk about the master chef? Y'all ever seen the Master Chef show? That's a crazy show. That's like some high tension in the kitchen. And people are trying to outdo themselves and trying to cook up the best stuff. And they got like 10 minutes to run in and go get all this stuff. And I would be messed up because I'd be looking for Pop-Tarts. I would be off very first. We got a master chef, and here's the deal. God, this is a story of God sending Jesus to Jerusalem and asking them to come, and all of them too busy. And can we look at this? Because right now we represent a new people. We represent a covenant people. If you're saved, if you've been washed by the blood, then you are in the family. You are that household. You are that household. And so what I'm saying is the master is prepared something for you. He's prepared exactly what you need. You know, so many times we get weary because we're trying to figure out life on our own. But God has something. And today I want to talk about come, it's ready. Come, it's ready. What are you looking for? Come, it's ready. What do you want? What are you needing to have yourself fulfilled in? Is it you thought marriage would do it and that didn't do it? You thought kids would do it and that didn't do it? You thought retirement would do it and that didn't do it? You thought building a business, but then that didn't do it? You thought being a part of a ministry would do it, but that didn't do it? And what you need to know is what will fill you is at a table that has been set for you in mind by a chef that knows exactly who you are and can give you exactly what you need. Give you exactly what you need. The Bible says, come to me all who are weary and burdened and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, learn from me, learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart and you'll find rest in your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What I'm telling you is this, if we don't serve a hard gospel, and if all of our kids know is hard gospel, law, and hard, it's soft. But you have to come. You have to come. And it's your option to come. Can we talk a little bit about the master? I love the master because the master says, have them come. And sends out an invitation. And you know what? The Bible says that the Spirit of God draws all men unto Him. So you need to understand that if there is something in your heart that is open to God, that's nothing that you did, but that's something that He did. You agreed with what was already sent to you. God did that. The master made sure that everything, all the preparation was done. Everything that needed to happen. All of it was necessary. He invited many. And he sent out his servant to remind them, come, it's ready. Look at the master saying, come. Come, here is an offer. Here is an opportunity. Here is a time to share in a blessing. Come. Church, we got to see that we have a come gospel, not a should gospel. It's not a should gospel. God is not out with a finger that's 45 feet long. And he's shaking it and he's saying, should. But he's saying, come. He's inviting you in to know Him and to have a meeting with Him where He can feed you, where He can give you, what's the Bible talk about, daily bread. It's important for us to know that we have a God that says, come. And every time you feel like you're not worthy enough to come, He says, come. And every time you feel like you've blown it, He says, come. And every time the devil kind of rocks in your head, you can know that the devil is the accuser of the brethren, but God says, come. God says, come. The choice has already been made on His part. Now there's a choice on our part. Everything's been prepared. The meal, this meal was not a cheap meal. This wasn't McDonald's pancakes. This was expensive. It was lavish. I've been to restaurants where I didn't even know what fork to use. You know what I'm saying? And my wife is like, outside in, outside in, outside in. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay. And the plate is so, it's cute. I want to take a picture of it. It's so cute. You know, they got the little thing here and the little drizzly stuff and the white plate and it's nice. I'm used to buffets, baby. There's no sprinkly stuff on there. You just put it all up. It's all messy. It's all conglomerated. It all goes in one way. And so, but it's a masterpiece on my plate. I'm like, it was $30 for that. Can I get the reduced edition and you just throw it on the plate for like 15? Can we fire the artist? You understand what I'm saying? God put a lot of effort and planning. It wasn't that Jesus Christ just died. From the beginning of time, God has been planning this meal for you to meet with him, for him to download into you, for him to feed what you needed. That's good. Tastes good. I don't know about you, but sometimes my wife will cook some soup. Even her soup is good. But one thing my wife cannot do, and I'm just going to tell you, I'm telling my wife right now, one thing that she cannot do is, for some reason, she cannot understand what is stale and not stale. And so when she pulls out the crackers, the soup is good. I mean, your lips are like, I'm happy. You know what I'm saying? But when you get into the cracker, it's like, oh, you've been around a while. And then she'll eat one and she'll be like, what? It's not bad. And I'm like, your mouth is mad. It's like you're chewing on a rock. You know, and I'm super sensed. I don't know, but it can get on my tongue. And I can tell, oh, that's stale. Or like a chip. You know, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? How many of y'all, you bite a chip and you're like, oh, and it's like a bag. And she's like, oh, it's not that bad. We can afford another dollar, baby. Let's go get some chips that crunch. And not some chips that bend. This ain't McDonald's pancakes. What I'm saying is that Jesus spent a lot of time preparing this meal, and it is good. It is good, but here's the problem. Is the household saw no value in what was prepared. And that's why they didn't come. See, in the truck, something's been going off in you. Pray. Meet with me. Go meet that man. Go talk to him. Call her. But there's no value in that. And so we pick something else over the invitation. And God is always giving us an invitation to come and meet with him. An invitation to come. And you know what? Call your kids. Send them a text. Tell them how much you love them. Tell you, no, I'm not going to. I want them to know they hurt my feelings. And so there's all of these invitations that God gives you to usher you into something different. And we miss all of those opportunities because we don't value what God values. Listen, Jesus paid the price. It was costly. It was expensive. It destroyed sin. This meal has no cost to you, but it got to be valued. And let me ask you this, church, man, woman, teenager, what do you value? What do you value? Because I'm going to tell you what these people valued. They valued their land. They valued their work. They valued what they were building. You know, if three things, these things break down to, and one was the land, and one was the oxen, and one was the relationship with his wife. And so it's very easy that we focus on our future, our now, and the people in our life, and we miss Jesus. Are you so focused on your future that the author and finisher is not a part of your future? Are you so worried and depressed about now? And I got to figure out, no, right now I got to take the ox. Right now I got to go. Right now I can't wait. I can't, dirt can't grow under my feet. I got to go. You can't meet with Jesus because you're so into the now. You got to work your ox right now. He's calling you away. You got bitterness growing up in your heart, and you think it's everybody else. But if we were to take real inventory, he's trying to call you away to get your heart healed. And he will prepare. See, here's the thing. When we are full of everything else, we will not be hungry for God. If we are full on everything else, we won't be hungry for God. I don't need God. You know what? There have been rare times, just rare times, when my wife will be cooking a meal and we did not communicate. And so I was out about handling stuff and I got a cheeseburger. When she was master chefing it up in the kitchen. And so she's got the table, all the kids, everybody sitting down. And I'm like, I had McGreasy. And you had that. But here's the deal. No matter how good it was, I couldn't eat it. Because I was full. Didn't matter how awesome it was. Didn't matter how what love she put in it. Didn't matter how good it was. Didn't even matter if it was my favorite meal. I may take a few bites out of obligation, but I wasn't hungry. Come on, are we taking a few bites out of obligation? Obligation, I lift a hand. If you're going to do it 5 times in a row, I'm going to raise my hand. I guess if you're going to repeat it, the chorus again and again and again, I'll give you a dab. Are we serving God out of obligation? Or are we hungry for the things of God? Are we hungry to have a family that I have young sons that are growing up in the admonition of the Lord? I have young women that are growing up and want to serve Jesus. And you know what? Here's the deal: is if we only make our kids come and conform and never work on their transformation, then you will pinch them when they want to sit down and worship. You will look at them when they're not performing to what you think the standard is. But until they get a taste of the master's table, and until we put the right value on the things of God that matter, we're just making them do what everybody else is making them do. Demand versus desire. Yes, we train, and yes, we teach, and yes, we do. But you know what? Come on. A lot of lessons have to happen outside of church for them to get church. A lot of lessons have to happen outside for them to get what we're doing in here. The household. All of them were too busy. They all found another need. They all found something else. Church, let's be careful that we don't get fooled on the things of the world and we miss dinner with the master. It's happened a few times in my own life. And I'm sure it's happened a few times in your life. But what I'm telling you is, let's be careful. You know what is amazing to me? Is that every person in that missed dinner, they weren't sinning. Nobody was no one was selling crack to Jerusalem kids. Nobody was having an affair. Nobody was, embezzling money. Nobody was doing, they were all doing good things. They were all doing good, responsible things. Let me just tell you, the worst thing in your life would be that you attribute to yourself, I'm good. I'm good. What did Jesus say when they said, good teacher? He said, why you call me good? There's only one that's good, that's God. And if Jesus don't call himself good, you can't either. Miracle Jesus, Lazarus Jesus, dead people getting up Jesus. If he ain't good, your life is not to be good. Your life is to be in that meeting. Here's the deal. The story is not about the servant who went out. And let me just tell you, it would be awesome if we could be the servants that go out. And I could just stop and we could talk and we could dialogue about how even when the master said, I want you to go out and invite more people, the servant said, I already did that. The servant didn't serve God the master out of duty. He served him out of heart. And we could spend a lot of time talking about that, but the story is not about the servant. It's not about who didn't come. It's about the people who did. And this walk is always about the people who come, not the people who won't. The kingdom of God is for the whosoever wills. And so while you're sitting there, teenager, rebellious, let me ask you a question. Is what's filling you up on the outside really taking you anywhere? Or is it just so you can tick off your parents and have a little bit of control? Do you feel built up and encouraged and inspired to be everything that you're called to be? Let me tell you something. When I was a kid, I loved honey buns. Loved them. Honey bunnies, honey buns, and nutty butters. That was my jam. Love me some honey nutty butters. I'm talking about pick those things on the bin. It's good. You understand what nutty buddies will do to you after 30? They will turn your buns into something other than honey. Here's the deal. At some point in time, young people, you can't go for the quick fix. You got to go for the long haul. And you got to give some value and some effort. And I'm telling you, if you come and meet with the Master, you will be full. You'll be full. We see it all the time. People like Beyonce, which I'm not hating, I'm just saying. Yes, she's talented. Yes, she's whatever. But you understand, when she started as a young girl singing, her skirts fit. Her heart was different than now. Hannah Montana, when we started here, fun. Maybe she wasn't. I'm not saying she wasn't rebellious. We all have rebellion. I'm not judging these people, but I am telling you what the world will do for you. It will take something that is naive and it will make it corrupt. Because it always wants more. The world says, give me, give me, give me, give me. It's not enough. But God says, come on. I have prepared a table for you and I will fill you. Will you come? No, I'm too busy. I got a business. Will you come? No, you know what? We got four kids. Will you come? No. Will you leave that offense? No. Will you leave that jealousy? No. Will you leave that insecurity? No. Will you leave that anger? No. Will you leave that rebellion? No. Will you leave that apathy? No. I mean, if I get around to it, I mean, if I really have a meeting, And so how can we have a God that we say yes if we're always saying no? How can God move if we're more no than we are yes? And here's the thing. Don't you know that the devil is a liar? And that everything he tries to offer you maybe will have a quick fix, but it leaves you hungry and empty and lacking. Here's what I want to ask you. Is that everything that you need is ready. Come. It's ready.
Thank you for listening to this Be The One message. For more information about Be The One Ministries, including blog, Facebook, and Twitter updates, please visit BeTheOneMinistries.com.